Hello and welcome to Messages at BBC. In these messages, you'll hear from professors, staff, guest speakers, as well as students. These messages were spoken and recorded on campus at Boise Bible College. If you'd like to check out Boise Bible College, please see our website at boisebible.edu.
Matt, it's really good to be back with you guys. For you freshmen, you don't know me at all, but for everyone else, it's really good to see you guys again. Wow, I'm actually feeling a little emotional about that. I didn't realize how much I miss you. I need to pray. How about you guys? Would you pray with me? God of David, God of Mary, God of Jacob, God of Boise Bible College, God of Rebecca, God of Matthew, God of Felicity. How generous are you that you would pour out your spirit upon us, that you would allow your sons and daughters to prophesy, to speak your word, to love and be loved. Thank you. Would you do what only you can do in our lives? And would you help us, empower us to do what we can do, which is just humble ourselves, to be open, to draw near to you as you draw near to us. Thank you for these people, and even the ones I haven't met. I'm thankful for each and every person here. I'm thankful for this school. I'm thankful for what you're doing. I'm thankful for what you have done and what you will do. You are the God who slays giants. You're the God who protects us from the enemy. You're the God who stoops down low to hear our cries. May we come to know you as you come to know us. Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Do you guys have ears? If anyone has ears, raise your hand. Okay, good. Just want to make sure. He who has ears, let him hear. Have you heard that before? This should be familiar, right? That's one of Jesus' favorite catchphrases. He who has ears, let him hear. So I'm glad you all have ears today. Open them up. Let's see what God has to say. And ears connect to our hearts, right? What we hear, we process, goes into who we are on the inside. Either they're lies or truth, right? Sometimes we let the lies into our hearts. Sometimes we let the truth into our hearts. But he who has ears, let him hear so that your hearts may be discerning, may be open, may be transformed. Today, we are reading John 15. If you've got Bibles or a Bible app of some kind, or you've got it memorized in your noggins, let's read it. John 15. This is what Jesus said. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already pure because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. What is the ultimate goal of your life? Just think about that for a moment. It's a hard question to answer, right? Especially in college, right? You're like, I don't know what the goal of my life is. Eat breakfast, typical question. Philosophers have wrestled with that. Theologians, people on the streets. What is the goal of life? There are so many possible choices, but none compare to what we were originally created for, life with God. The ultimate goal and prize of life itself is abiding with God in Christ. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Doesn't that sound like the goal of life, right? Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Christ, our Lord, even demonstrated this while he was on earth in physical bodily form doing ministry. He would often withdraw to lonely places to stay connected to his Father, to abide in him. He modeled that for us as often as he could, even when he was spent from a whole day of healing people and blessing people and casting out demons and trying to find a shred of opportunity to use the bathroom. He's human, right? Use the bathroom, find a snack. My goodness, he was exhausted. No wonder he fell asleep on a boat in the middle of a storm. The guy was spent. And yet he would still not make time, because all time is God's time, right? How often do we say, I need to make time for God? It's his time that he loans to us so graciously. Jesus always spent time with his Father. You know what? I would even go so far as to say that when he was doing all of his ministry stuff, he was spending time with the Father, just pouring it out. And then he had to retreat to fill himself back up. Every minute is spending time with the Father. I want to show you today how to abide in Christ. This is something that this scripture, John 15, has been like my life scripture for the past, 10 years. And it's something, it's a daily process, daily process. I'm a mom of 2 kids under 2. Whew. Talk about being spent by the end of the day, and I'm only working with 2 people, and Jesus worked with, how many, hundreds? But man, it's hard work. And I have to find that time, make that time, spend that time to withdraw, to refill, because I'm pouring out every second of every day. In my own times in my Christian life, I have felt like, what does this abiding with Christ even look like? It's so abstract, so elusive. Jesus tries his best to give it to us in some sort of tangible form, saying, I'm a vine, you're a branch. Let's conceptualize that today. Let's try to understand that. Jesus already made a way for us to understand this abiding life stuff. He is the way, the truth, the life, the only way to the Father. Through Christ in us, we are already in the Father. The Father is already in us. Guess what? We're already abiding in the Lord if you are in Christ. If his word is in you, you are abiding. So this word, Greek word abide, let's break it down a little bit. This Greek word abide means to not depart, to not leave, to continue to be present, to maintain unbroken fellowship, to be rooted in, to make one's home in, to get cozy in, to be knit together in. That's what this idea of abiding means, okay? Just imagine in your mind's eye what that might look like if you've abided at all, not just in Christ, but just in life, right? Have you ever rooted yourself somewhere, made yourself cozy somewhere, knit yourself together with a person, those of you who are maybe married, okay? Just imagine what that abiding feels like. Does it feel good? Feels connected. Feels like, yes, there's life here, there's purpose here, there's something to live for here in this abiding stuff. That's what Jesus wants with us, is to abide with us and us in him. Some scriptural examples of what this might look like. It kind of looks like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in his presence, versus her sister who was distracted with service to the Lord. You read in Luke 10, Martha was distracted trying to prepare the meal, distracted serving the Lord, that she missed the Lord. What else does it look like? It looks like the beginning of Colossians 3, rooting our identities in Christ. Colossians 3 starts off by saying, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your identity is rooted in him. That's what abiding looks like. It also looks like prayer. The type of ongoing daily conversation with God type of prayer that we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. You know what? That's just like, who's breathing right now? Anyone? Okay, good. If you're breathing, prayer's like that, right? If you're abiding with Christ, if you're aware of his presence in his spirit around you, with you, that you recognize the fact that all your time is his time anyway, prayer is just being with him and having conversation with him. Some of you guys have roommates, right? Whether you're married to them or not, you're living with a person, right? Okay. Have you ever just been with a, yeah, there's some high-fiving happening. So have you ever been in like a great relationship with someone where you don't have to talk? You're just in each other's presence doing whatever it is that you love to do and you're chill and you're happy and you're just at peace? Pray without ceasing. When you're abiding with Christ, it feels like that. It feels like that. You don't have to be talking to God all day long, but you're aware of his presence. You're adoring him. You're adoring him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being my God, for being my friend. What else does it look like? It looks like a fruitful branch connected to a vine. Have you ever noticed a plant with a dead limb? It's like, what's happening to that limb? It's just hanging there. The rest of the plant is great, alive, but there's this one dead branch. Guess what you have to do to that branch? You got to cut it off, right? If I'm not a good gardener, but that branch is not really doing anything. It's got to go, right? So it looks like a fruitful branch, a branch that's alive, a branch that has fruit, a branch that has leaves, except in the winter. You know, forget the winter. We're not talking about the winter. We're talking about the spring, right, where there's life, right? That's what a fruitful branch looks like. And all it's doing is staying connected. It's pretty simple. What else does it look like? It looks like Jesus. Jesus commanded us in John 6 to eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's what he said. He didn't say eat bread and pretend like it's my body. He didn't say drink wine and pretend like it's Jesus. He said drink my blood, eat my body. And the whole bread, I am the bread of life section. And what did his disciples say? They said, what are you talking about? That sounds like cannibalism. What are you talking about? Jesus is saying, that's how much I want to be connected to you, that you ingest me. I want to be that close to you as the burger you ate for breakfast or lunch or whenever you eat a burger. Okay? That's how intimate Jesus wants to be with you. That's what abiding is. What else does it look like? It also looks like keeping Christ's word and doing what he says. John 15, he says it again. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you have a friend, good friend, someone you really, really love, and they're like, hey, bud, can you go do this errand for me? You're like, of course. Of course I'll do that for you. You're like my best friend, my lover, my whatever. Like, yeah, I'll do that for you. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments, right? It's friendship. It's friendship with God. That's what abiding looks like. It also looks like putting away sin rather than making a practice of it. That's what 1 John 3:6-9 talk about. Notice the wordage there, putting away sin rather than making a practice of it, right? We sin. Sorry if that's a new revelation to you, but we sin, okay? But the difference is when we make a practice of it. When we're like, this sin feels good. I have a toddler. She's making a practice of sin. She's figuring it out what it's like to push the boundaries, to test mom, to disobey, but she'll figure it out eventually. How to put that away, put that aside, to live in obedience, to live in trust. What else does it look like? It looks like loving your neighbor as yourself. 1 John 2 talks about how important it is to love other people, because God is love. He who does not love does not know God. That's what John talks about. What else does it look like? It looks like living a life of love and faithfulness. That's what abiding looks like. And also, it looks like knowing the shepherd's voice. Jesus says again in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The sheep know my voice. They know it. Do you have a pet that knows your voice? I have two pets that hate my voice. They don't know how to abide with me. I don't know how to abide with them, especially now with two kids. I'm like, get out of my life. You're dirty. You have fur everywhere. But be the opposite of that, okay? Be a sheep that knows the shepherd's voice and that listens to the shepherd's voice and that says, oh, that's a voice. That's a voice that is true. That's a voice that I want to follow because it's a good voice. It's a voice of safety, a voice of salvation, a voice of friendship. All of this is leading up to a really big question. Do you love the Lord? That's a hard question, because we can love someone and not like them. We can like someone and not love them. But what God wants is your love. Not just your liking of him, not just your tolerating of him, not just like, I guess he's cool. No, he wants you. He wants a loving relationship with you. Loving the Lord means desiring his presence, just as you desire that person you love, whether it's a good friend, your husband or wife, your grandma, whatever it is, whoever it is that you really love, you desire to be with that person, right? God wants the same thing. It's not complicated. That's what abiding is. That's what abiding is. You want to be with this person you love. You enjoy being with the person you love. God wants you to grow in enjoying him. I want everyone to close your eyes. No cheating, okay? It's a moment of honesty, okay? I'm the only one keeping my eyes open because I'm the speaker, okay? Everyone close your eyes. No cheating. Raise your hand if you are struggling to love the Lord. Yeah, it's okay. You know what? He loves you just the same. Raise your hand if you're on the path to loving the Lord. Yes, he loves you just the same. Raise your hand if you are there and you love the Lord. Yes, God loves you just the same. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Thank you for being honest. That vulnerability you just demonstrated in a room full of people, that's the kind of vulnerability God's looking for. If you want to love him, you gotta let him in. It is so hard to become friends with someone when they don't let you in, am I right? Have you ever been there? You're like, man, I really want to like crack the gate and like be friends with this person, but they're just not letting me. I have a hard time finding anything to talk about. What do we relate on? And sometimes it can be that way with God. What do I have in common with him? He created the world. I created a poop. You know, like, what on earth do I have in common with the Lord? I'll tell you something you have in common with the Lord. His image. You have the image of God. You have the image of God in you. His likeness is already in you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? And guess what? The image of God in you is your identity. The world wants to throw all of these identity labels at you, right? All of these identity labels. And they expect you to live by them, almost legalistically. Well, if you claim that label for yourself, you better live like that, right? And God says, my image is your identity. All I want for you is to abide in me and I in you. And it requires vulnerability. It requires being like Mary. When Jesus drew near to her, he came into her village. He came into her home. Guess what she did? She drew near in return. It's almost like, you know, magnetic chemistry. She wanted to draw near to him. She's like, oh, I know that voice. That's the shepherd's voice. And all she could do was just sit at his feet and just be like, please, more please. Give me every word you have to say. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And then her sister Mary is over here in the kitchen being like, I'm going to make this meal. Jesus is hungry. He's expecting food. I'm hungry, but I can't eat yet. I'm the woman. I have to wait, serve the men first. And that was, you know, the thing. And she's cooking, and she's cooking. And she's like, and my stupid Mary, she's sitting over there at Jesus' feet. And I can't sit at Jesus' feet even though I want to, but because I'm serving him over here and cooking food. And does he like tacos? I hope he likes tacos. Like, I just, this place is such a mess. It was Mary's job to clean the living room, and now it's a mess, and she didn't wash his feet. I'm going to have to do that later. My gosh, I want to be with Jesus. And here I am serving Jesus, and I want to be with Jesus. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Luke 10 tells us, Mary had the better portion, and it would not be taken from her. Who did Jesus appreciate more? I didn't say love more, appreciate more. Jesus appreciated the person who spent time with him. I will bet my bottom dollar, and forgive me, Jesus, if I'm wrong, But I will bet my bottom dollar, knowing the character of Christ, he would have preferred both sisters to be at his feet and he would have gone hungry. He would have preferred to go hungry, have both sisters at his feet, than to have one lost in service. I'm speaking to a crowd of people who serve the Lord and are training to serve the Lord. And this is a message on purpose, because it's so easy to get distracted by the service that you miss out on abiding with Christ. Am I wrong? I've been distracted by service. I'm distracted by service every day I'm with the kids. I'm serving, 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 and then I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm wiped out. It's hard. It's hard to abide when you're tired. But know what? That's exactly when to abide. Because what does Paul say to the church in Corinth? He says, when you are weak, then you are strong. Because Christ's strength can be made perfect in that weakness. So when you are tapped out, distracted, serving the Lord, that's when you got to abide even more. But you know what? You don't abide last minute. You got to abide leading up to it, because then you can avoid the burnout, right? You don't want to be the Martha, okay? I'm not encouraging that at all. Don't be the distracted servant. Be the servant at Jesus' feet who's soaking up the word. Guess what, okay? We know fruits of the Spirit, right? Okay, anyone who has them memorized? I'll help you through it. Speak them with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Good job. Good job. Yes. You know, if you don't have those memorized, it's helpful to memorize them. Because Jesus says in John 15, abide in me and fruit will happen. Okay? Notice when we listed the fruits of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit was not serving the Lord. A fruit of the Spirit was not growing the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Neither was a fruit of the Spirit ardent Bible study. Neither was a fruit of the Spirit prayer. And yet, we can get so focused on all of these other things that are very important, but they are not the fruit, okay? Just as if the fruit of a harvest is the fruit of the harvest. A grocery store is not the fruit of the harvest. You hear me? The grocery store delivers the fruit of the harvest so it can be useful. When you abide in Christ, when you're spending time with him, when you're aware of his presence, you're getting to know his voice. You're loving him, adoring him. And I'm not just talking about like that, okay, I got to do my quiet time, you know, even though I need quiet time every morning, and I don't often get it, but I do need it, okay? He who has ears, hear, okay? I'm not saying throw those things out. I'm saying those things are the result of abiding, of growing in love with the Lord. If you want to know if you're abiding, if you even have grown even a teensy little bit in even one of those fruits, you've been abiding. Close your eyes, another moment of vulnerability, okay? No cheating. I'm the only one allowed with my eyes open, okay? Focus. Spend time with the Lord right now. Lord, show me if I've abided even a little bit in love. Have I grown in love? Raise your hand if you feel like you've grown even a teensy little bit in love. Okay? Lord, show me if I've grown even a teensy little bit in joy. Okay. Lord, show me if I've grown even a teensy little bit in peace. Lord, show me if I've grown even a teensy little bit in patience. Lord, show me if I've grown even a teensy little bit in goodness. Lord, Show me if I've grown even a teensy little bit in kindness. Lord, show me if I've grown even a teensy little bit in faithfulness. Lord, show me if I've grown even a teensy little bit in gentleness. Lord, show me if I've grown even a teensy little bit in self-control. Okay. If you've grown even a teensy little bit, you've been abiding with Christ. Congratulations. Is that encouraging? Is that encouraging? I hope it's encouraging. And also, look at the opposite, okay? If you've been chronically hateful, notice the word chronically. I'm not talking about the occasional, like, hateful thought. I'm talking chronically hateful, like, daily basis hateful, okay? If you've been chronically despairing, that's the opposite of joy. I mean, I've been there. Chronically despairing, I've been there. Chronically irritable, chronically impatient, chronically evil, loving evil things, watching evil things, chronically unfaithful, chronically unself-controlled. Those are the areas to invite Christ into. He wants to heal those places. When he abides, he starts healing. You start seeing changes. You start seeing little fruit buds happening on your vine. Okay? Love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits. And the result of the fruit is growing the kingdom of God. That's what comes out of abiding with Christ. That's what comes out of abiding with Christ. Apart from him, we can do nothing. He's serious when he says that. He's like, don't go jumping into service thinking that you're going to change the world if you're not abiding in me. It's not going to happen. You are going to tap yourself out, burn yourself out, and eventually, possibly, worst case scenario, walk away from Christ altogether. And I have unfortunately seen that happen. Abide, 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 abide in him. Find love for him. Adore him. Look around. Look around. You're surrounded by the image of God. Look within. You're full of the image of God. Look outside. Fingerprints of the image of God all around you. Look at the goodness in your life, the things he has blessed you with. God is drawing near to you. He wants you. Will you draw near to him? Listen to his voice. We talked about, actually we didn't talk about, I've really gone off script here. I don't know if you noticed. but one of the things that's important to think about here is the difference between book knowledge and head knowledge, okay? You're doing a lot of book knowledge here, and that's good. That's foundation. Even Jesus grew up in book knowledge of the scriptures. He was a good Jewish boy, okay? Learning the scriptures is good book knowledge, but there's a difference between book knowledge and experiential knowledge. And every single time the New Testament writers talk about knowing God, growing in the knowledge of God, they're talking about experiential knowledge. Experience God. That's how you grow in the knowledge of God. Learning the book knowledge stuff is foundation, but don't stay at the foundation. Don't stay at the entry level. Grow, 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 grow. Experience God. Learn to hear the good voice of Christ. And you're wondering, how do I hear the voice of Christ? I can't even hear my own thoughts. Here's an encouraging thought. That experience we just did where you're raising your hands about the fruits of the Spirit, you were hearing the voice of God just then. Even if you didn't raise your hand, you were hearing the voice of God because you didn't raise your hand. You're like, oh, that's not me. I wasn't growing in that area. There is encouragement here. God speaks in a multitude of ways. God speaks through the scriptures. He speaks through worship songs. He speaks sometimes in an audible voice. He speaks through visions. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through prophecies and words of knowledge. He speaks through impressions on the heart. burdens on the heart. He speaks through word pictures, mental images. He speaks in a multitude of ways. The Spirit moves how the Spirit wants it to move. Do not think that, oh, that's all, you know, weird, having a vision or a dream or hearing the voice of God. That's like hocus pocus. No, that's abiding with Christ. If you're learning to hear the voice of God, you're listening to the Good Shepherd, you're going to hear his voice in a multitude of ways. God wants to speak to you how you need to be spoken to. Try not to allow the cultural expectations to burden you, okay? All the expectations of, well, this is what a Christian should be, and this is what service looks like, and just focus on Jesus. Learn to be still and know that he is God. That is foundational. That is foundational to abiding with Christ. Knowing is important. Knowing is how we communicate. Words happen up here. Knowledge is important. Book knowledge is important. And that translates into experiencing God. Okay? Experiencing God. Let's experience him right now. Okay, we're going to close this way. Close your eyes again. It's just you and him. No cheating. Imagine yourself in a room. However that room looks like is up to you. Imagine yourself in a room at a table. Across the table from you is Jesus. Do you see him? You might. You might not. Jesus should look like goodness. You should feel safe in his presence. Right now, if you don't feel safe in his presence, the enemy might be interfering. We have an enemy. So all you need to do is say, in the name of Jesus, get back from me, Satan. I invite the real Jesus to sit with me right now. That's all you need to say. Do you feel safe? Who here feels like they're sitting across the table from Jesus? And now ask him, it's just you and him. You get to have a conversation with him. He wants to hear you, and you want to hear him. Jesus, what do you want to say to me right now? The Lord loves you. The Lord is with you. The Lord desires you. The Lord says you are worthy. You are important. You are seen. Your voice matters. All of the lies the enemy has tried to wreck you with are just that, lies, falsehoods, untruths. Lord Jesus, would you start to do a healing work right now in every single person in this room, myself included? Do what you can do as we abide with you, even in our lostness, even in our confusion. Abide with us as we abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. Boise Bible College exists to raise up leaders for the church, where we value scholarship, humility, innovation, and community. For more information about Boise Bible College, please see boisebible.edu.